Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
Outside of football, I live a pretty boring life.
With Matt Harmon.
This is an anti-getting greedy podcast.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
It's Thursday, April 27th, at least for 50% of the co-hosts of this podcast, because
you're
one of us
control
because one of us is on the worst coast for sports viewing, and that's not me, although I'll soon be on the East Coast with my buddy Charles McDonald. Yeah, I'm coming, man. I'm enjoying my last major NFL event on the West Coast, where I won't be up at an insane hour viewing this thing. So yeah, I'm soaking it all in, pal.
You talk a big game, but you're about to be right back out here. look, I'm actually okay with this late podcast because I don't really sleep after the first round of the NFL draft. Like, honestly, this is one of my favorite times to kind of go back and watch just, you know, some clips of the guys who went in the first round, because now we have context of like what team they're on, what these depth charts look like, because now we have, you know, we've gone through free agency trades, and now we get the first round of the draft. So like, from a starter standpoint, these rosters are about locked in right now, and we'll get some guys on Friday, but like, for impact stars that are on teams, this is about it. So I like to stay up late and go back and watch these guys with like the context of the teams they're on. So I'm okay podcasting right now. I am a little tired, though. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit tired.
Oh, same. I mean, but the adrenaline and the excitement of the draft is always a nice little boost. And I so agree with you, like, especially at the receiver position. It's one thing talking about Jordan Addison in theory as a prospect, but now talking about him as the number two receiver on the Minnesota Vikings across from a true ex-alpha receiver in Justin Jefferson, it's like a whole different thing, and it really opens up for a ton of stuff. So we're on the same wavelength there. Here's how this podcast is going to go. It's going to be a little bit different than most of the round one little recaps out there. For this show, we're going to break down the fits for the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. Well, tight end singular, because only one ended up going in the first round. We're going to pick a winner and a loser for each position group, both from like kind of a fantasy and real life implication. But before doing that, Charles, initial reaction to what we watched in the first round as a whole, all the trades, Eagles drafting the entire Georgia defense for a second year in a row, et cetera.
Oh, man, it was it actually ended up being a pretty interesting first round, I think. And, you know, you get the Texans trading back up to three to take Will Anderson. So like, we still kind of had the quarterback run at the start of the draft that we thought we were going to have. But, you know, for all the talk that was going to happen that was happening this week, where, you know, even up to yesterday, we're talking about five quarterbacks going into the first round. We only got three after Anthony Richardson went at four. There were no other quarterbacks picked in the first round, but it was an interesting first round. I got to say, I think the Lions might have had like the most out of left field draft that I can think, because, you know, I start to hear from some people earlier this week, like, hey, don't be surprised if Jahmyr Gibbs, like, for real ends up as a first round pick. But no one had him going like top 12.
No.
Top 12.
No.
Like,
it insane. And the Lions, they always like, they get the inside look at the war room. You know, like, there is some real man stuff going on in the Lions war room. I mean, those guys are, Brad Holmes is a big dude, Dan Campbell, big dude. They're like slamming on the tables in excitement. Like, they're all gassed up. I'm like, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs didn't fall to you. I mean, wasn't a steal of the draft. He took him with the 12th overall pick.
You know what's interesting, though? I'll share this, that I was told this evening as the draft was going on, there was one team that thought the Lions were going to take Bijan Robinson at six.
Wow.
And then, I started thinking, like, maybe if they had traded down to 12, did they think Bijan, like, might have fallen to 12 to their spot? Maybe Atlanta goes pass rusher or something. He doesn't. And then they just pop Gibbs at 12. I don't know. But, you know, well, I guess we'll get to it later. But, man, that was a really confusing draft pick. And then Jack Campbell at 18, like, man, you probably could have had him in like round three. That felt a little bit unnecessary, but you always need one team like doing stuff that doesn't make sense just to keep it interesting. So I'm happy the Lions at least gave us that.
I am too. And we'll talk about the Jahmyr Gibbs thing in particular. Obviously when we get to the running backs. The only thing I feel bad about with the Lions, like they're definitely going to get filleted in the national media because they took a running back and a linebacker. It's like the two positions that are the most devalued in the NFL right now. So there's that part of it, but also like the possibilities just seemed so endless and so fun for Detroit, right? Like I wanted to be an Anthony Richardson team. They could have taken a quarterback in the top 10. I thought they could have taken another pass catcher after the Jameson Williams suspension. And like they come away with it with a running back who is a great pass catcher in his own right, Jahmyr Gibbs, and a linebacker. That part of it just feels a little like, okay. But you're right. We do need a team to spice things up in that way. Let's get into the positions. And like I said, we're going to kind of give this, I don't want to go like, this guy's a winner, this guy's a loser, but we're going to go like and give it a little bit of a winners and losers feel because you know what, Charles? We're big media.
That was
bros.
A good nerd voice.
That nerd voice comes out a lot and people do not like it. People do not like the nerd voice sometimes. Anyways, let's get into the position. The thing is the winners and losers, it sells. Big media bros, it sells. So we're going to do it. My overall winner with the quarterback position is just quarterback sanity in general. Honestly, like the fact, and it starts at the second overall pick. Like we could talk about Bryce Young to the Carolina Panthers, but I feel like we've talked so much about Bryce Young and the eventual fit in Carolina. Like that's a great fit. But CJ Stroud, who I know that both of us really like going to Houston, that was like a sigh of relief, honestly.
Oh my God, dude. That's the perfect way to put it, a sigh of relief. Because look, I think that this D'Amico thing working out would be really cool for Houston. And you need to get off. Like Houston's one of those organizations, like you just need to stack whatever wins that you can, like whatever things that you can do to start looking back like a normal football team again. You got to do that. And I was getting a little worried, like you start hearing stuff. Well, maybe they'll take Will Anderson at two and they'll trade back up and take like Hendon Hooker. Some people were saying that maybe they'll even just stay at 12 and take Hendon Hooker after taking Will Anderson at two. And then they did like the most reasonable thing that like they should have been, you know, that we should have been projecting them to do all time. You take CJ Stroud, who is arguably the best quarterback prospect in the class. He has like the most, you know, signature performance of any quarterback prospect in this class. His game against Georgia in the college football playoff. And then when you think about the offense that they're trying to install, with the, you know, a Shanahan-like system in Houston, they got a pretty good offensive line. So maybe that can mitigate some of the pressure issues that CJ had. But still, like, I think what we missed a little bit, excuse me, in talking about all this S2 crap with CJ Stroud over the past, let's call it a month or so, is that he's a really good football player.
I can't wait to never talk about an S2 test for like the next 300 and, you know, 55 days or something.
Right. But the thing we lost is like, he's a really good football player and he's a quarterback that's like worthy of being selected number one overall. And I think the Texans, you know, like you say, it's a sigh of relief. They end up just doing the most sensible thing that you can. You take a top flight quarterback prospect. You know, you've already traded for Shaq Mason. You re-sign Laremy Tunsil. You got an offensive line for him. Let's see what happens.
And if there were any processing concerns with CJ Stroud, having him in like a Shanahan style of offense where you know where you're going with the ball, you know, you're just going to have to make those reads off play action, I think actually can be a really good, like a good fit for him if you really believed in the whole processing concerns thing. And I don't think the cupboard's bare in Houston. I'm excited about his potential fit with Nico Collins. I like a young X receiver that I still have a lot of hope for. John Mechie got cleared to play. We'll see, you know, what he can do in his first season. Robert Woods is there. Dalton Schultz is a nice, competent tight end. I think that CJ Stroud is set up to succeed in Houston as long as his coaching staff is as good as we think it is. What did you think of their trade up for Will Anderson then at the third overall pick? I mean, because they kind of gave up a lot, but they have extra. I feel like people forgot discussing this on Twitter. Right. Like they have extra draft capital with the Deshaun Watson trade.
Right. And that's like what kind of made it okay to me. Like, you have the buffer where, look, I do think though that like giving up their own 2024 first, it's kind of that's a tall task. Cause like, even
it's
with
a big bet on yourself, you know, moment,
right? It is a big bet on yourself. Cause even with CJ Stroud and Will Anderson, you know, those guys are rookies. They're going to need time to adjust to the NFL. So like, even if you're sitting there with like a 5-12 record or something in that range, I don't really think anyone should be surprised. And then you're talking about giving up a pretty high pick. But like, if you think Will Anderson can be somewhere on like the Khalil Mack plane of defensive linemen, I kind of don't really hate just saying, all right, if we think that's what he can be, let's go get that. We still have the first round pick from Houston Cleveland for next year as a buffer. We'll see what happens with that. But look, they took a risk and went to go get their guy. And I can't, it's hard for me to get too upset at adding, you know, CJ Stroud and Will Anderson to a team that's really trying to rebuild. That can kind of get you moving back in the right direction. So I like the trade for the Texans. I'm not, you know, anti-trade up. I think you kind of got to look at each case. And I think that this is something that can really, you know, help them.
And who was their like monumental face on the roster before these two guys? Like Damian Pierce, because people had him on their fantasy team last year. Like Laramie Tunsil, because he's the king of getting the bag. Like, that's it. So I like the move from that angle too. I don't want to just necessarily yada yada over Bryce Young as the first overall pick. But again, this is something we that has been reported. We've seen coming for a long time, but I'm excited to see what he looks like in Frank Reich's offense. The size concern is always going to kind of be in the back of my head, and why I like CJ Stroud a little bit more, and why I said about Anthony Richardson, like I would have spent every last second trying to talk myself into Anthony Richardson. It does sound like they just came to a consensus recently, but it had been reported for a long time that Bryce Young was going to be the guy.
I don't really know that's what I'm saying. Like, what else is there left to say about this? We've talked about this a lot, but like I do think that this is kind of an interesting pick because like from the physical traits perspective, he's obviously like the lesser option of the four guys, but I guess that they kind of looked at this and said he makes it up in enough other areas where this is okay for us, whether it be accuracy or playmaking ability and pocket presence, things like that. I think he does make it up in other ways. But, you know, they kept hammering in on the broadcast. He's basically like the smallest player to ever get picked this high. And, you know, you can look at the combine weight. 204, but you know, come on. He didn't weigh in at his pro day for a reason. He didn't run at the combine for a reason. That's not going to be his real weight. So like, you still have the concerns with the size and stuff, but if he can be like as dynamic a playmaker he was at Alabama, and I think as we've talked about the size stuff, like his actual skill level does get underrated a little bit. Like, he is really good. One of the few players to be able to threaten that legendary Georgia defense from a couple of years ago. This year, he basically had the whole offense on him because they were breaking in a bunch of new receivers, and the offensive line talent wasn't up to the Alabama standard that we had seen in previous years. So it's not a bad bet. It's just not a bet that you really see that often at quarterback, which is what makes it interesting.
Okay, probably the most fun of these selections was Anthony Richardson to Indianapolis at the fourth overall pick. I mean, Chris Ballard has kicked the can down the road on taking a young quarterback for so many years, has even said publicly, I don't want to take a young quarterback because it might end up getting me fired. Like, he's basically said that publicly. He ends up taking, you know, a guy that people think is a big gamble. But I know that you and I, again, what we've talked about on this show is that, like, Anthony Richardson's a guy who could end up playing early because of the floor that his rushing ability might give you. So I don't know, Charles. I love this fit in Indianapolis, and I do think there's a pretty good chance. Like, we're going to have the whole conversation about Gardner Minshew, but I feel like Anthony Richardson is going to be the week one starter for the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah. Let's be real here, guys. you can create so much more offense, even if Anthony Richardson's like this crummy little passer, which I don't think he is. Like, we're talking about a team that still has Quentin Nelson and Jonathan Taylor. We can at least run the ball. If we can't run the ball, something's gone like seriously wrong, because We're going to have two of the top rushing threats in the entire NFL in our backfield with Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor. So, you know, as he gets used to, I think the NFL, like the speed of the NFL game, as far as passing wise, that's just going to be making him even more dangerous. But man, like I really like this fit for him. You think about how they're talking about Shane Steichen and Jalen Hurts and the development that he had there. So obviously you can basically insert Anthony Richardson right into the Jalen Hurts run game. And now you have Quentin Nelson and, like I said, Jonathan Taylor. There's potential for this to kind of hit the ground running a little bit, even if it's not like the most efficient passing game to start off with.
Yeah, we'll see if guys like Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly play better this year than they did last year. But they have resumes that you can at least feel confident on. And man, I mean, you've watched enough Anthony Richardson to know what those receivers are like. I mean, I think you said on our quarterback podcast, like, I don't want to come on here and slam a bunch of college kids. Michael Pittman,
hashtag
man.
But.
Michael Pittman, man, well, the one thing he does really well, like, he will go down the field and get it in the deep areas, but his best stuff is like crossing routes, dig routes, you know, slant, stuff like that. He's going to be a reliable receiver in the middle of the field for Anthony Richardson, unlike what he had before. And I really love the fit of Alec Pierce as like a jump ball down the field type of guy for Anthony Richardson. I mean, no offense played with more of a ceiling over its head than the Indianapolis Colts with Matt Ryan last year. I mean, you know, people got pissed up, predictably got pissed on Twitter when I said like that he's the most athletic quarterback of all time, even though objectively at the combine, he has the highest relative athletic score of all time. But I mean, the athletic jump from Matt Ryan as your quarterback last year, no disrespect to Matt Ryan, but like old man Matt Ryan to Anthony Richardson, that is like, that's like going from California to New York, pal. That's as big a jump as that.
Yeah. You're literally like not even playing the same sport anymore. For it's a whole different offense, a whole different, you know, different set of capabilities that you have. I'm interested to see just like kind of what they want this quarterback run game to look like. Cause, you know, Anthony, he's big enough where he can be a guy that takes some carries inside, but at the same time, that's a lot of punishment for a quarterback. So, but then he's also got the speed to like be an outside runner too. So I really like love that pick the more I thought about it. I actually like gave a little fist pump, like while I was sitting in my chair watching the draft. Cause like, hell yeah, he gets to go to a team that's not like totally bereft of talent. Steichen's got a pretty good track record of developing young guys in recent years with Herbert and Hurts. So maybe Richardson can be his next project.
And, you know, you mentioned Jonathan Taylor, who's going to be one of the biggest bounce back candidates in fantasy this year. The guy's averaged 5.1 yards per carry for his career. Like, now with Anthony Richardson in the backfield, like, what do you set the over under on in his yards per carry this year? Like, could he get six?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, like, Jonathan Taylor, so I feel like where I keep getting stuck with the Colts is like they have so many guys, and Jonathan Taylor is one of them, where I look at them like, I know you're a good NFL player. I've seen you be good for prolonged stretches. But I'm talking about Quentin Nelson to Ryan Kelly, DeForest Buckner. Like, this is not a roster that doesn't have guys on it. They just kind of had a little wacky season with a little wacky owner, and things got out of hand pretty quick for them. But, you know, I think that this is a situation where the Colts can be competitive pretty fast again. And obviously Jonathan Taylor would be a huge part of that. You know, if the Colts stay as a run heavy team this year, which would imagine them doing since they just drafted Anthony Richardson, I don't see why Jonathan Taylor couldn't lead the league in rushing again if he can stay healthy throughout the whole season.
Now, if there's a loser from the quarterback position, it's got to be Will Levis, who doesn't go in the damn first round. How surprised were shocking. You by the fact that, yeah, it's shocking.
Like, legitimately shocking. He was the odds favorite to go number two overall like 24 hours ago or 36 hours ago, which again, I know draft odds, whatever, but it's not like who was predicting this. You know, 3 weeks ago we were talking could be four quarterbacks in the first four picks with someone coming up to three to get Will Levis, instead it was Will Anderson this time around. So We had the quarterback run at the start. So it's not even like we were necessarily wrong about that. It's just the Will Levis stock just fell. And then we hear during the broadcast, like a toe issue or something like that, where apparently that's an injury that's scaring teams. But yeah, he's the biggest loser for sure. I mean, he didn't get drafted tonight. And that was a huge surprise. You know, I was even surprised that no one traded back into the first round to get him. Like, because we've seen where Teddy Bridgewater, Lamar Jackson, where if you're sitting there at the end of the first round, someone might trade back up to like 32 to come get you. But not this time. He sat there and went to the second round. And now, like, you start looking again, how far could he fall? I mean, he's obviously not going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. And I forget who's behind Pittsburgh, but I know that they have a quarterback too. So it's a pretty crappy situation for him. And I always feel bad for these guys that get invited to the draft and then don't get picked in the first round.
Yeah, it stinks, man, for Will Levis, obviously. I was, even if you could pick holes in his game, which you certainly could, right? I mean, we talked about it that I thought his ceiling was like Ryan Tannehill, but Not Tannehill's obviously a good player, but like that's your ceiling comparison. You probably want a little more than that from a first round pick. But I mean, I was still pretty shocked that didn't happen. I got to say about the draft odds thing, we've officially got to have like a come to Jesus moment about the way we talk about draft odds in the football media industry.
The craziest thing to me, did you see the story this week about Will Levis odds like going up for the number one overall pick off like some Reddit posts or whatever? And what happened there was like the odds on Levis jumped like all the way down to like, I think almost like plus 400, depending where you're looking. And then, but the Bryce Young odds never changed. So this is what we call a donation. Like you are donating your money to some gambling place, which is your prerogative. Of course, you can do whatever you want with your money. It's a free country. But like, What is this? Like a Reddit post is all it takes for people to put money on Will Levis going number one? Is that it?
Yes. Yes. I mean and like people act as if sports books aren't just like they've got that, like Scott Fitterer and the boys are calling up, you know, the sports book, like, hey, we guess what? We're actually thinking about, no, they're just reading mock drafts just like you. And like looking at people's tweets and looking at some goofball. I forgot what his username is, but some goofball on Reddit, you know, says, I know Will Levis. I mean, the way it's like, oh, this guy's now the betting favorite to go to this. Good God. Like let's try to use our brains and think a little bit more critically here. But with that being said, let's move to the running backs. And speaking of betting favorites, Bijan Robinson was the betting favorite for a little while to go to the Atlanta Falcons. He did go to your Atlanta Falcons. So, Charles, I got to ask you, how many, you know, nerd tweets, anti-running backs did you mainline right after the pick happened?
I'm going to be honest. I have almost all of them muted. So I don't really see that stuff in my timeline anymore. Unless it's like, you know, something that someone sends me, I really don't see any of that stuff anymore. I know how I feel about running backs getting drafted for the first round. It's a boring debate. We haven't said anything new in like 5 years. I know that I feel that this was not a great use of their positional value at a draft pick in the top 10. I think the fact that they were able to push a pretty damn good year out of Tyler Allgeier last year kind of proves that you don't need Bijan Robinson here, but he's awesome. Like he's an amazing football player.
He's a really good player.
He's really good. He's a really, really, really good football player. I have a hard time seeing where, like how this doesn't work out. I'm a little disappointed that we're going to see a lot fewer Tyler Allgeier carries. I mean, you know, if we're talking about like dynasty fantasy stuff, like his value just got absolutely decimated. You know, the Falcons, they have their bell cow back. And he's going to get a whole, whole, whole lot of touches in this offense. Like, there's not going to be any transition period for him where he's getting, you know, 4 or 5 touches a game. Now he's going to be the guy for them from day one, rushing game, receiving game. And now, you know, they've kind of set this up where, you know, it's almost a no excuses thing for Desmond Ridder, right? Buddy, yeah. We're giving you the tools, man. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, even like your secondary players like Mac Hollins. It's not bad. And we just paid Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry to stick around because they were good last year. They've at least started to rebuild a good core on offense. And I guess like my biggest solace with this pick at 8 is he's a damn good player. And it's good to have damn good players on your football team.
It really is. From a fantasy angle with Bijan Robinson, let me tell you how this is going to go. Like you said, Charles, the Tyler Allgeier thing, that was great. There's definitely going to be a moment in the offseason when, you know, some beat reporter writes a story about, you know what, they might just open up like a 50-50 committee between Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson, and it's never going to happen. There might be one like little performative series where Tyler Allgeier gets a bunch of work in the first game, but Bijan is going to be the workhorse. Just, it's the same thing with like Michael Carter and Breece Hall last year. Michael Carter, nice rookie year. Good stuff. The first week of the season, they threw the ball 9 times to Breece Hall, 9 times in the first game. And then obviously he became the workhorse back. That's how that's going to go. And back to the nerd voice, Charles, there will always be people that are like, you can't take this guy the first round. He's never played a down in the NFL. Bijan Robinson will be a first round pick in fantasy leagues this year. And he's going to be a good first round pick in fantasy leagues because, like, I think the biggest misconception out there in the fantasy community right now is that that Arthur Smith is not a good coach or is not a good play caller because the whole Kyle Pitts thing last year
blows my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Watch the tape, man. I mean, he designs a really good offense to get these players the ball. They just had Marcus Mariota pulling the trigger last year, and that's just not going to get it done. I just started Drake London for reception perception. Number one, Drake London, really good football player too. Really, really good. I mean, this guy's like wide open dig routes in the middle of the field, and Marcus Mariota's, you know, skipping it to him. Kyle Pitts streaking down the field, like just airmailing it down the field. So, like, the Matt Ryan offense wasn't this boomer ball run heavy thing the year before. When you have a guy, and whether Ridder's that guy is, you know, you can be the one to decide that. This is not like some prehistoric Stone Age offense. I think there's a situation that if Ridder is good, where Kyle Pitts can hit his ceiling, Drake London can hit his ceiling, and Bijan Robinson can still smash as well.
Yeah, I mean, not to make this like too Falcons heavy, but at the end of the year when Raiders started the last 4 games, like, dude, Drake London, he took off a little bit. That's when he kind of had his best stretch of the season when Desmond Ridder came in. And I don't even think Ridder was like particularly good or great, but he was a more functional passer than Mariota in certain ways that benefited the offense. So, look, I really don't have a problem with them giving Ridder a shot at a full season. I think that in terms of just like the amount of games won, they're a little bit ahead of schedule because, you know, you got to remember about this Falcons regime. This year is year 3, but it's the first year that they had access to cap space where they could actually sign free agents. You know, last year they literally had $80 million of dead cap from like Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Deion Jones, and a bunch of other guys. So they were able to spend this year. It's a pretty quality supporting cast, I think. And at the very least, like, they've set themselves up in a spot where if Ridder isn't the guy, the next guy is going to have a bunch of guys to at least play with.
Yeah, no, I like it a lot. I like the way they're set up. They just have a ton of talent on offense right now. Jahmyr Gibbs was the other first round running back pick. Again, we were both surprised that he went 12th overall. I mean, the Lions, they traded down. It's like, the Lions are doing good stuff. And then you could have given me 1,000 guesses. I probably would have never guessed that Jahmyr Gibbs was, 1,000, obviously I'm exaggerating, but it was very hard to see Jahmyr Gibbs being the guy there. I mean, I'll say this, Jared Goff, when he gets into like his harebrained mode, you know, and he kind of goes a little crazy, like under pressure, stuff like that, if and when it does happen behind this line, he's going to have a great pass catching running back to dump the ball off to in Jahmyr Gibbs, along with an awesome big slot receiver that's always open in Amon-Ra St. Brown. So at least there is that.
Is DeAndre Swift getting cut?
Oh, dude. Yeah. I mean, for our loser here is DeAndre Swift. And like,
okay,
Jahmyr Gibbs is just like he's the real version of what the idea of DeAndre Swift was. I don't know what your take on DeAndre Swift as a player is, but I would imagine there's like a 0% chance he's on this roster by the end of the weekend. Like I would imagine he probably gets traded. I would guess in the next couple of days.
Yeah. Maybe he'll be part of a trade package this weekend. But this is way different than what Atlanta did with Bijan to me, because Lions, like, they just paid David Montgomery, so obviously he's going to get a big chunk of carries. So, like, did you just use the 12th pick on, like, a part-time back, like, a committee-level back? To me, I don't know. Like, there's only a finite amount of touches that can go around. So, I thought that this was just a bizarre use of a first-round pick for them, because
really bizarre.
They already had a certain amount of touches in a pretty significant way slotted for David Montgomery because they just paid him. And I know that, you know, look at 3 years, $18 million. On the grand total of NFL contracts, it's not much. But for running back contracts, it's not like insignificant money anymore, sadly for them. It was just a weird pick to me, because I don't really see a path, barring injury, where Jahmyr Gibbs gets enough touches to make this worth like the pick that they just gave up. At least with the Falcons, I can say, dude, they're going to run Bijan into the ground every single year until he can't run anymore. He's going to be the guy. But with Gibbs, like, they already have a plan to kind of split this up. Is that really worth a top 12 pick?
Right. Like, yeah, Tyler Allgeier had a nice rookie season, but he was a day three draft pick. You haven't spent significant resources at the running back room. This is your first one there. The Lions, I mean, DeAndre Swift was not drafted by this front office and this coaching staff, and they have told us with their actions for a couple years now that they don't particularly like DeAndre Swift or view him as highly as people in like the fantasy world or whatever do.
Yeah, I think don't like might be correct.
Yeah, I think they don't like him. They don't like that he can't stay healthy. They just don't like him as a player for whatever reason. But if they're looking for this archetype of player, I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is that dude. Bizarre pick. I have a tough time, just like you, seeing. I mean, maybe Jahmyr Gibbs can be awesome, and this could still look like a weird pick because of the David Montgomery thing, who they just gave a 3-year deal to. So, yeah, it feels like a weird one. And, yeah, the obvious loser here at running back is definitely DeAndre Swift, who I imagine is going to be on the move here in a couple of days.
I will say, though, let's just forget about the pick they used to get this thing done, right? And we look at just the players that they have on offense. It's kind of fun, man. Like you already said, Amon-Ra St. Brown, we got David Montgomery in 7 games. We'll have Jameson Williams back on the field. And the offensive line is so good too. It's so good. You know, this is what I kind of wonder about the Lions. Like, I feel like they have put themselves in a situation where they might have to end up like extending Jared Goff because who the hell would have a bad season in this supporting cast? You're going to have the offensive line. You got two dope running backs that complement each other perfectly. You got a dominant slot receiver. You can only play so bad, right? That's why I should have drafted a quarterback.
Maybe they
can still draft Will Levis.
That's what I was just going to say. They have 2 second round picks, their pick and then Minnesota's pick. And obviously, they just traded down with Arizona, so they'll have extra draft capital to go up and maybe get a Will Levis. I mean, I guess, but yeah, it is weird, too, that this is a Rams front office that was maybe they were anti, like, Sean McVay's, I got to get Jared Goff out of here at all, you know, by any means necessary. And obviously, that's why he's here in Detroit, but yeah, it's a weird one. The Jahmyr Gibbs thing is just kind of throwing me off, and I'm kind of wondering like what is the path forward, because I think they could add another pass catcher too. Like, they still need a tight end. They need maybe another, like, a big X receiver, because Jameis Williams is going to miss so much time. But it's a good offense, and I struggle to see how Jared Goff doesn't succeed in this environment. Speaking of wide receivers, let's move to that position. This is where I really struggled with the losers, because, dude, I love all four of these landing spots for these first round receivers. We'll start with Jackson Smith and Jigba, who goes to Seattle. The glow up continues for Geno Smith, who obviously gets a big contract. You know, he goes to the Pro Bowl last year, coming off a great year. Now he has, like, what might be, they already had the best, if not one of the best, at least wide receiver duos in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And now you throw Jackson Smith and Jigba into this, who as an intermediate route runner complements these two guys so well. Awesome, awesome pick for Seattle.
Oh, dude, I not to go all Josh Norris and pat myself in the back here for a mock draft, but I did have...
Go all Josh Norris.
Love you, Joshy.
Yeah, he's not.
I did have this pick in my mock draft before the draft started, because it makes a whole lot of sense, right? Because this is I love this pick for Geno. I think Geno Smith is a huge winner here, because it shows that they have some faith in him this year. You know, they didn't trade up to try and get like Anthony Richardson or something like that. Stay put at 5, pick Devon Witherspoon. And then they come back at 20 and pick JSN. And you look at kind of how this offense is built up for this year, right? You got Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, who on their best days are both elite deep threats. And with JSN, like, my kind of profile for him was like someone who is the ideal slot receiver moving forward in terms of prospects. You know, you look at the burst, you look at the ability to cut, you look at where he was lined up a lot, honestly, to be quite frank with you. He just kind of seemed like a guy that can make that transition into being just a perfect slot receiver in the NFL. And that's kind of what the Seahawks needed right here. Now, Tyler Lockett, he's not going to play with the team forever, but they already got DK locked in, got JSN locked in. That kind of buffers the blow whenever he moves on. Now, if this hits, like, you've really set yourself up well here as far as your rebuild goes for Seattle. It's an impressive job.
Yeah, it's awesome. And the beauty of DK and Lockett for like 4 years running in fantasy has been that they've been just complete target hogs. Like, the just 50% of the passing targets are going to them alone, which is not normal in an NFL offense. At least even when you have like two elite receivers, sometimes it'll be like 45% of the targets. For these two guys, it's been like 50-50 plus. JSN will make that interesting, but they were so bad at wide receiver 3 position. The tight ends aren't real target earners like Noah Fant, you know, Will Disley. So I think JSN will be able to carve out a nice slice of the pie here, and those two guys shouldn't see too many looks either. And plus, like Geno showed last year, he can run a really high volume and high functioning pass offense. So I'm not concerned about anybody here in this passing game. And Quentin Johnston came off the board next as in our 4 straight pick wide receiver run. I love this fit with the LA Chargers too, man. I mean, they needed juice, just flat out needed juice. And they got it in Quentin Johnston, who we know he brings some questions in terms of at the catch point, stuff like that, but he's really good on slants. He's really good on 9 routes. He's really good on post routes. And like, that's the type of stuff, in addition to the yak stuff, that the LA Chargers and Justin Herbert needed.
Yeah, I kind of thought they were going to go with someone maybe who was just offered more, a little more as like a vertical presence. I thought Zay Flowers was going to be the pick there. But I love this as like a potential long-term Keenan Allen replacement. Because I love, first of all, I think that they kind of have some similarities in terms of like, as far as like yards after the catch stuff, where, you know, it's not like the fastest, most explosive guys, but there's a way, like if you're just a skilled ball carrier, that you can still maximize what you can do after the catch. I think that Quinton falls into that. So even if he's not like a traditional field stretcher in that sense, he still could be a source of big plays by, you know, finding plays underneath for him to kind of take advantage of of his size and his running ability. So, you know, he's a big receiver, but it's different than the Mike Williams big, you know.
Right.
He's a guy who plays a little bit of a small ball game, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. And the Chargers offense, man, I think for as high powered as Justin Herbert is as a quarterback, the offense as a whole has been a little bit slow. And this gives them a chance to kind of get back into a groove where they have an easier shot to make some big plays for Herbert and not be so reliant on like these plays where Herbert has to just like pin it on Mike Williams 40 yards down the field. And Mike's going to come down with it, but that's it. You know, we have a little bit more flexibility because now we can go and make plays after the catch.
Yeah. The yak stuff obviously is a huge differentiating factor, but you know, there are folks, you know, even Daniel Jeremiah, who I love, you know, he would compare Quentin Johnston to Mike Williams sometimes. And I just don't think they're very comparable at all. Like they definitely look the same and maybe they win in some of the same areas, but like Quentin Johnston can outrun a defense. Mike Williams is not going to, he's not really going to outrun anybody. You know, like he can, you're going to get the ball down the field to, on like big post routes to Quentin Johnston. You're going to throw Quentin Johnston screens. You're not doing that to Mike Williams. You're going to throw Quentin Johnston like the ball on drag routes and stuff like that. You're not doing that with Mike Williams. So I think it's enough overlap. And I mean, again, I don't want to be mean, hashtag, but like we had to get Josh Palmer off the field as the third receiver here, and this is going to do that. Like Palmer's a fine whatever player, but he just he is very samey to Mike Williams in terms of doesn't get separation, is only a pin the ball on him type of guy. So I like the fit here. Next guy off the board, Zay Flowers. And hey, the winner today is Lamar Jackson. I mean, shout out Lamar. Gets his contract, gets paid, and now you've got Odell Beckham, you've got Rashad Bateman, and you've got Zay Flowers, and like this offense, buddy, is about to leave the Stone Age, finally, for the first time in Lamar Jackson's career. I love the Zay Flowers pick here, and I know you're a big Lamar guy. You had to be pretty excited about this.
We're free. Like, what a great day for Lamar Jackson Hive. We have crossed it to the other side. Feels good. We got, our man got paid. It wasn't fully guaranteed, but still, you know, I don't think you can sniff too hard at like $185 million guaranteed. It's still a big chunk of change. So he got paid. Charles, and then, you know,
Charles, you've negotiated contracts before in your life, right?
I have, yes.
A salary, stuff like that. Doesn't it normally go, you ask for something, they say no, and you still settle for, like you ask for something ridiculous, and then you settle for still something really, really good. That's what happened with Lamar here. So, I mean, come on, it all worked out for him. Like the most rational thing worked out.
Right. So he gets the Zay Flowers pick today. I love it. You know, I kind of thought like, how similar is this to Marquise Brown? But I think that he's a little bit more dynamic player. I think he's more explosive, like in the short area of the field. And I think that he's going to be able to hold up a little bit better against some of these NFL cornerbacks. So, you know, you look at the room and it's Zay Flowers, Rashad, Odell. It's hard not to feel like good about that. And you think Mark Andrews is a tight end too, right? So if I was a Ravens fan, I'd be feeling pretty good. Like these feel like, it feels like for the first time, like they have a receiver room that is worthy of Lamar's talent. You know, I still think that there's a chance that they could potentially add a guy later, but this was a really good start.
And I could see all three of these guys lining up at any of the positions. Like I could see Odell being their X receiver. I could see him being their flanker. I could see Zay Flowers being the slot, but you mentioned, I always liked Marquise Brown. He was good for the Ravens, but he was never going to play X receiver. Like I think Zay Flowers could play as their X receiver. I think Rashad Bateman could be their slot. He could be their flanker. He could be their X. Like the positional versatility of all these three guys is awesome. The route running ability of all three of these guys is awesome. Like Lamar's never had separators like this, like true one-on-one matchup winning route runners. And I mean, I could also, you could sit here and tell me that by December Odell Beckham leads the team in targets. You could sit here and tell me that Rashad Bateman leads the team in targets, like the wide receivers. Throw out Mark Andrews for a second.
Right.
Or,
right,
you know, right, you could right. say Zay Flowers leads the receiver room in targets. I could see any of those things being a reality. And hey, if I'm sitting here saying that on April 27th, or for Charles, still April 28th, you got a good room. You got a good room, man. So I love that pick.
Yeah, it was a great pick. And I think for the Ravens, like you should be trying to be explosive as long as Lamar's your quarterback. Like, you just got to be big play city. So I think that, man, it's a fun pick. It's a good pick. But between Bateman and Flowers, you got a lot of speed. You got a lot of veteran presence. Even, like, this is one of those picks where it makes a lot of spots better at the same time. Because even now, you're looking at someone like Devin Duvernay, who is a quality little receiver, as your wide receiver four. That's the depth that, like, you kind of been looking for since Lamar has been your quarterback, and it's good to see, you know, two serious investments in one of the most talented quarterbacks in the game on the same day. That was cool to see.
Yeah, we were living in a world last year where Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator and Devin Duvernay, who you just mentioned, who might be like their receiver four, was their second in the target pecking order behind Mark Andrews. So, yeah, we're living in a pretty good world here for the Baltimore Ravens right now with Todd Monken and the receiver depth that they've accumulated. Jordan Addison, the next one off the board here to the Minnesota Vikings. Again, another fit that I just absolutely love, because I've got my problems with Jordan Addison as a like a press coverage beater. Like, if you're going to line him up on the line of scrimmage and have him run vertical routes, that could be a little problematic. Well, guess what? He's never going to have to do that, because they have one of the best receivers in football in Justin Jefferson there. He could easily be, I could see him being the most productive rookie receiver of this group, just because of obviously the pro ready route running. I think he brings to the table slants, curls, digs. He can run all those like an NFL vet, and he's got a wide open, really depth chart behind Justin Jefferson there for targets.
Yeah, to me, I remember when I was watching Jordan Addison, and I came to the conclusion, like, the ideal number two receiver, if I have an established number one guy, I would love to have Jordan Addison as a number two. And this is, like, literally that exact situation. I can't really imagine a better spot for him, because the thing with him was, I with his size and his weight, he probably was never going to be a guy that you wanted to be, you know, one of these 160, 170 target guys in the NFL. But, man, like, across from Justin Jefferson, where he's going to get obviously lesser coverage matchups. There's going to be coverage rolling away from him in some situations. It's a good spot for him to come in and make some plays on an offense that might be trading Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
So, there's even potential for this to become a more pass happy offense. And I think even just for the Vikings in general, we've seen how important that when Adam Thielen was at his peak, how important it was to have him either alongside of Stephon Diggs or alongside of Justin Jefferson. Obviously he goes on to Carolina, where he'll be playing with Bryce Young. And now you get the same dynamic with Jordan Addison. I really, really like this pick a lot.
All right, losers at the wide receiver position. Obviously, teams that missed out on the wide receiver run, like the Giants, they traded up. And I was like, oh, no, don't trade up for, like, Cedric Tillman or something here. No disrespect to Cedric Tillman, but don't be, like, doing that, right? A little too reactionary. But they ended up trading up for a cornerback. They'll try to solve that outside receiver position later on in the draft. I would also say DeAndre Hopkins, a little bit of a loser for now. Darren Urban reported that Monty Ossenfort says, like, yep, we might not trade him. Like, DeAndre Hopkins is going to be a Cardinal this year. This is a guy who was fantasizing about playing with Lamar, like, maybe 24 hours ago. I can't tell you how much more I love, like, Zay Flowers for this team than DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously Hopkins is a legend, but still. So I would say Hopkins might be a loser, because he might be playing half the season now with Colt McCoy. Not a great situation.
Yeah. Even today, our very own Charles Robinson tweeted after Lamar deal got done. He tweeted that, that might open the door for DeAndre Hopkins to go to Baltimore. And then, yeah, door got closed pretty quick, I think, with that pick that was made tonight with Zay Flowers. And I'm with you. I still think DeAndre Hopkins has, you know, a fair amount to offer. But for this offense, especially with Odell, like, I think it's better to go get the burner. And and someone who's got like some real juice and kind of at the start of their career. So DeAndre Hopkins, loser, man, because I don't know what this Cardinals offense is going to look like. Or this Cardinals team. Like, to me, they're clearly looking towards 2024 and beyond, which sucks for Hopkins, because I think that if they're going to be a team that's really just like, this year's kind of washed, Kyle's gone, might as well trade him anyways.
Yeah. I guess maybe no one wants to take on the salary. Like Kansas City, maybe come call him. But for now, I'd say Hopkins goes down as a loser. Tight ends, easy loser. All the dudes like Michael Mayer. We thought Michael Mayer was going to go in the first round. He didn't go in the first round. Nobody else snuck in there. But Dalton Kincaid, big winner. I think, you know, people are going to ask, like, why take a tight end when you have Dawson Knox? Dawson Knox is going to be like your pure inline guy. And I really think they just look at Dalton Kincaid as basically a big slot for them.
Okay, but like I kind of thought that could be Dawson Knox's skill set too. I'm not sure. I thought that I don't think it's like a one of one. Like, damn, you just drafted the same exact thing you had. But I do think there's enough similarities where I don't know how clean the fit is. Like just off the start, because you know at first when the pick came in, I was like, was I wrong on how many years that Dawson Knox had left on his contract? No, like financially, they're stuck with him for at least two more years.
They just gave him a new deal, I think, last year, right?
Right. Well, yeah, but you know, time, it's fake. My brain's all f***ed up and I can't remember what's going on. Yeah. I had to look that up after that pick came in. And, you know, for at least two more years, Dawson Knox is guaranteed to be a starter on that roster unless they trade him and decide to eat a lot of dead cap, which I don't know why you would, because you just signed him and he's still a pretty good player. I just thought the fit was kind of weird. You know, if I was Buffalo in the tight end market, I would have tried to go after like a Darnell Washington, because it's a lot different than what I have right now. And it's not even like, I don't even think Kincaid's a bad player or wasn't worthy of this pick. I just kind of think that there's enough overlap between Dawson's skill set and Dalton and Dawson.
That's going to be it. Yeah.
What the hell? I was like, for a second, I was like, am I dumb? Like, did I just forget their names?
I didn't even put that together until you just said that. Dawson, Dalton. Oh, God.
Even their names are freaking similar. What the hell? And last name is both start with K. That was really stupid. Really stupid tangent. It's 103 on the East Coast, so I'm not making complete sense here. But there's enough overlap here between their names and their games that I kind of think that it's going to be a weird logjam for snaps and targets, at least early on. And I think this is going to be one of the situations where they have to really tinker with it in camp in the early parts of the season, because, it's not like you want both of these guys, or really even one of these guys, just like solely being an inline guy. They both need to be flexed in and out.
Yeah. This looks like one where, all right, well, let's just get a good player. We'll figure out what to do with it later. It feels like that. So, all right, Charles, rapid fire before we let you out of here. Offensive lineman. Man, I like all of these offensive line landing spots. The Cardinals needed everything, but Paris Johnson, they trade down, then trade back up to grab him. Kyler Murray apparently has been asking for an offensive lineman, and just so happened, I always love this guy, whether it's a coach or a player, has been asking for this position. Like when Steve Wilks, it came out like, oh no, he actually wanted Josh Allen, not Josh Rosen. Maybe that's true, but it's always funny. Like nobody, it never comes out like, yeah, Steve Wilks really wanted Baker Mayfield. They just ended up with Josh Rosen. You know what I'm saying here? But apparently Kyler Murray's been asking for, you know, Wirfs from the Bucs. He asked for Creed Humphrey. Both these guys who ended up being studs. Allegedly, that's what he's been asked for. He gets his wish here with Paris Johnson finally. So that's
Creed,
great.
Creed he gets no credit on, because that's, he played with Creed. Like, what the hell? You get no credit on that one, yeah. Kyler. Wirfs, I don't know. There were some people that were saying he should play guard. Again, I shouldn't pat myself on the back, but ridiculous thought to have him back then.
Take another Josh Norris moment. That's fine.
Yeah. Maybe
for the podcast folks, just pat himself on the back twice.
Yeah, I tried to make it loud enough so they could hear it. But you know, I do think maybe if Kyler is his O-line scouting savant, then maybe they should listen to him a little bit. But look, I had Paris Johnson as one of the elite players in the class on my board that I posted before the draft in the top 100. Dude, like, if you go into Madden and create, like, an offensive lineman who was built in a lab, you know, 6'7", 320 with a six-pack and can run fast and you know, do all the dominant things in pass blocking and run blocking. Paris Johnson is kind of that guy. Does he have to, like, clean up his technique? Yeah, but it's just hard to find guys who are that big and move like that that end up being, you know, kind of available to you at this point in the draft. So we heard rumors that the Cardinals were in on Paris Johnson even as high as 3. They got a trade offer they couldn't really turn down from the Texans because you get that first-round pick. So you move back down to 12. Then you move back up to 6. Keep that Texans pick. You keep your pick. I love the moves. I think it's great for them.
Yeah, it's great for them. And I guess all that time that Kyler Murray was not spent watching film, you know, to prepare for teams, he was just scouting offensive linemen. So shout out to him from the whole contract thing. So Darnell Wright. Our guy Darnell Wright going to the Bears. That feels like a good thing for them. They needed like a pure right tackle if they really like Braxton Jones, their left tackle, kind of hit from day 3 last year. That's a good one. Peter Skoronski. I mean, hey, the Titans are just leaning into Titans stuff. You got to like that. They definitely needed offensive line help. I don't know if he will. They signed Andre Dillard to be their left tackle. I think that means Skoronski could be a right tackle.
Crazy.
Yeah, that is a little bit questionable. I said they did. I just said they did it. I didn't say anything about whether it was a good thing or not. But it was what they did.
But every time I see it, like, you got a 3-year deal. And, you know, that's one of those things where I always frame it as, man, good for Andre getting that deal. Hell yeah. Good for you, bro.
Yeah, after your first round money didn't really work out, you get paid.
After you got replaced by a 7th rounder, you know.
Yeah, and like the best offensive line coach in the NFL can't get it out of you. Like, it'll definitely work in Tennessee. Maybe it does. Who knows? But Peter Skoronski, good pick there. Broderick Jones, the Steelers trade up over the New England Patriots, or they trade up with the New England Patriots over the New York Jets. Great move by them. They end up grabbing Broderick Jones from the Georgia Bulldogs, as you know. And that's a great – they need offensive line help in the worst way. Good news for Kenny Pickett there. Jacksonville Jaguars also took Anton Harrison late in the first round because found out over the weekend that over this week that Cam Robinson, their left tackle, is going to be suspended for performance enhancing drugs. So I love all these offensive line picks, honestly.
Yeah, I was doing the draft grades tonight during the live blog, and I found myself giving out a lot of really high grades, especially on the offensive line picks. The Titans getting Skoronski, that was also, they're kind of in a situation with the Bears where, you know, you just need an offensive lineman, someone who can do anything. And he's someone that can legitimately play all 5 spots at a pretty high level. So, like you said, they just paid Andre Dillard. I think they have another guy they drafted pretty recently in the second round at right tackle. So, he'll probably play either left or right guard. Nate Davis just signed with Chicago, so that's a pretty big hole for them. And then like Darnell Wright at right tackle, he's a freak athlete, and it kind of helps them solidify their tackle situation because, you know, they have Braxton Jones, who they drafted in the 5th round last year, and I don't think I know the expectations on him weren't high because he's a 5th round pick starting at left tackle in the NFL, but still, you know. He put together a quality rookie season in a good enough way where you don't feel like left tackle is like the super duper pressing need, because if he takes another step, then like you actually really have something there. So I think the Bears, they took the right step towards fixing their offensive line. And of course, you know, can't forget that they had made that trade so long ago, Carolina. They still have the draft capital for next year too.
Yep, absolutely. All right, man. Well, I think that's going to do it for us. Appreciate you staying up late on your end of the country. I'll be there soon, man. Up late for these stupid sporting events. But I appreciate you staying up here and doing this with me, man.
Yep, I'll be back on Sunday. Now I'm just gonna, you know, scroll through the film catalogs and see what I can find with my little eye, you know. Try to stay awake for a little bit longer for no reason, no apparent reason. Just don't like myself.
Yeah, but you love ball, dude. You
yeah,
love.
That's the problem. I'm addicted to that part. So, you know, while we were talking, I just downloaded like 5 Texas games and that's what I'm about to do. Pajon pilled.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's true. You have some, like, not coping, but you've got some like talking yourself into it to do. You've got some bargaining to do here over the next.
At least
like,
not on the talent. At least not on the talent level. You know, at least I know it's going to be good. So whatever.
Yeah, but the more you inject the talent level into your brain, the less.
Right. Like, then I'll be like, yeah. Well, maybe he's Marshall Faulk, and then of course he would take Marshall Faulk with the 8th pick in the draft. Right. That's where I'll be by tomorrow morning.
Oh, well, good to hear it, man. All right. Well, you can check out Charles's Twitter feed at 4verts, where he'll be dumping all of those thoughts. Like he mentioned, you can definitely check him out on UPod to win the game. Their whole draft recap will be out on that podcast. Subscribe to that wherever you get the podcast. Meanwhile, I'll be back on Monday morning, because I'm a slacker. I'm not doing it on Sunday, to break down the entire draft with Andy Behrens and Dalton Del Don. That's going to be great. We'll see you all then. Until then, we're out.